You know our slogan around here is better practice, better life. But we're taking this belief to the next level. And we've recently announced the creation of a new association. It's called the Best Practices Association. Our association celebrates the mindset that is better practice, better life. This mindset celebrates time, healthy living, personal growth, clinical excellence, and impacting the lives of your patients and your team through intentional leadership. In fact, we are the work-life balance experts in dentistry. The BPA will coach independent dental practices like yours to thrive by sharing best practices and operational habits, behaviors, systems, tools, and insight that lead to profitability and sustained growth, and you can still have a life. So if you're a dentist that wants to surround yourself with great thinkers, let us help you create your own version of better practice, better life. Go to actdental.com/BPA or hit the link in the show notes.
My name is Jordan Comstock, and you're watching the Best Practices Show.
Hey guys, thanks for watching the Best Practice Show, where we take a look at the best business practices from the best dental practices all over the world. And I got a crazy cool episode today. You do not want to miss this. So stick around. It's one of the hottest topics. Everywhere I go, people are asking me about this. And I'm like, I don't know. Let's ask the expert. So I got one of the experts on today. And we're going to be talking about the benefits of creating an in-house membership program for your patients. And it is one of the hottest waves in all of dentistry. So you do not want to miss this. Now, before we get started, just a couple of show notes. We are, you know, we're streaming this on Facebook. And so as you have questions, add them to the feed and we'll ask Jordan just to contribute and ask back, you know, answer back. Because when you're watching these, I want you to get the most out of them with your team, whatever, ask them tough questions. I mean, we're gonna ask a few today, but if you're sitting there and you're thinking, man, what about this? Just ask away and we'll do our best to see if we can't make you feel supported in this whole process. Also, we're up to over 38,000 followers on Facebook. I don't know how that happened. We're just kind of like making this up every day, like goofing around. And so we're so crazy grateful for the shares, suggestions for programming. And today is no exception. We're going to do our best to get all this on in a timely fashion. And so my guest today, you're going to love this, Jordan Comstock. You have a little company called Boom Cloud, which isn't so little anymore. And we're going to be talking about in-house membership programs. But I want to know, you know, before we get started, a couple things. I want to talk about your story, how you got involved with this, and then talk about why, and then we're going to get in the how. So don't miss all three of these components. So Jordan, who are you? You're like coming into the scene like a firestorm. So tell us your story. How'd you get into
like
this role?
Like a firestorm. That's awesome. I've never been told that before, but I love it. Yeah. I've been in the dental industry for, I think it's been over 10 years now. I was talking to Ben on your staff earlier. And I think it's like 11 or 12 now. I've forgotten. I've lost count, I guess.
Yeah.
But I started out, I basically grew up in dentistry. And growing up, I actually hated it.
Really?
Right? Never wanted to have a part of dentistry. I love playing the guitar and I wanted to have a rock band, right? And that was kind of my dream at a young age. But, you know, I got roped into joining my dad's family business, the dental lab, Salt Lake Dental Lab, one of the oldest dental labs here in Utah. And basically, I couldn't find a job, but I wanted to build a business early on in my career. And the economy was really bad. And my dad's like, hey, come join us at the dental lab. You've got an opportunity to come and own this business. And I'm like, hey, that sounds interesting. I've always wanted to own my business. So that's how I got started in dentistry, is I started doing all the dental lab stuff, right? Casting and all that fun stuff that they don't do anymore. Well, maybe some labs do, but
right.
but as I was at the dental lab, all of I've always wanted to be an entrepreneur. I've always loved business. And so my dad gave me full reign of managing that, his company. But I always wanted something more. I was into tech. I was going to school studying marketing and UI, UX design, which is like software design. And basically, as I was managing the dental lab, all these, the dentists, they became our friends, right? They started venting to us. And then, of course, my mom was an office manager. She would vent to us all the time about dental insurance. And I always thought to myself, man, there's got to be a better way to do this, you know, because it's trickling down to the lab and it's affecting the lab financially, what the insurance companies are doing in the industry. And it always bothered me. And sure enough, I walked into a practice years ago, and it was after I read the book. It's called The Automatic Customer. Mm-hmm. By John Warlow, one of my favorites. You got it?
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah. So that was I read it, and a few of other of his books have been really inspiring to me. And I just was completely inspired, and I was constantly thinking of ideas to create that type of business model. And then I walked into a dental practice that was a client of ours at the dental lab, and they had a membership program. And I'm like, what is this? Like, this seems super cool. And they went off on all the benefits of the membership program, what it's done to their practice and how they've been able to grow to 8 locations utilizing a membership program. So I just started asking these questions, and they're like, I'm like, how are you managing this thing? And they're like, Excel. I'm like, no way. I'm like, okay, I'm going to build something. So that same night I went home and I designed the very first version of Boom Cloud and, put a team together, and here we are today. That's kind of my story.
Yeah. And it's such a blessing too, because you met opportunity, like you created something in a market that desperately needed what you could provide. So it wasn't like you came up with something and you had to like hard sell it. Like, we were all thirsty for, you know, the solution that you were going to provide. And hey, before we get into it though, I do have to give your podcast a huge shout out, because guys, I know if you're listening to this, you listen to a lot of podcasts, but I'm going to tell you, and Jordan, I said this before, I'm not just saying this because you're a guest. Like, your podcast is one of my hands down favorite. It's called Navigating Dental Insurance.
Yeah.
And baby, you and your, and I'm going to get your friend on here too. Who you and,
Ben Tuinay. Yeah.
Ben Tuinay. I'm terrible with names.
No worries.
You know, so I can't even remember my own kids' names. So, but you guys started this, and it is truly hugely valuable. You guys had so much great value, and you talk about the reality of dental insurance, what it is, and you're not in there bashing it all the time. I mean, there's
most of the time.
Most of the time. But it's really, I mean, I listen to it all the time when I'm driving. I'm like, that is awesome. Really good stuff. So you got to check that out, number one. And then, Jordan, why is this so important? Like, I know you kind of pointed to it, but let's talk about why this subject is so hot in dentistry right now.
Yeah, well, I think, I mean, it boils back down, at least with my experience in the dental industry, is there's a huge pain working with dental insurance, you know. And if you were to ask me, Kirk, with my business or any business I start, whether it's in dentistry or not, and if you were to say, hey, Jordan, I want to partner with you, but if I can generate leads for your business. But in order for me to give you those leads, you got to discount your prices 40% or whatever it is. Right. I would think you're crazy.
Right.
I would think you're crazy if we were not in dentistry. And I think that's what a lot of dentists are finding out nowadays, that this is a huge pain point, that insurance companies are controlling, cash flow, whether they're, they may be delaying the claims or even denying the claims. And to me, it's a huge problem. So that's my why, right? I hate seeing problems. Well, I like seeing problems. I like fixing problems. Mm-hmm. right. So, I think that's been my why, is just seeing, and why this is so popular in the industry, is because it is an alternative to a huge problem in this industry. And that's kind of why I think it's working.
Yeah, and I'm going to piggyback on it too, because like this particular issue that you're talking about, it's not going away. Insurance companies are changing the rules all the time, tightening the screws on dentists.
Yeah.
And it's a, you know, it's a multi-billion dollar industry. And a lot of times they've got really good relationships with DSOs. And so sometimes the private care practitioner is sitting there and saying, hey, woe is me. This is an incredible opportunity to seize control of your future and use the same things that dental insurance is using to get patients in. Like you, this is like crazy brilliant how perfect a fit of this is. Now, I know if you're watching this and you've never heard about these before, you're going to experience violent resistance to this idea. There's a dentist in Prairie Village, Kansas, Grant's, like he told me, he's like, I heard about this forever. And then I went back to my team and I told him about it, and they violently resisted, or I think he said something like that. Until
they beat him or something?
Well, he was like fee for service. And then came back and they heard, we're going to create an in-house insurance program. And they're like, wait, that flies in the face of everything that we've been trying. So we're going to unpackage this. But for a second, I want you to suspend all of your fear, because you can build a practice in which it's fee for service. You're the they can only use this plan with one dentist. You know what it is? It's you. Okay. I could go on for hours, but let's start unpackaging this, because you're the man, you're the expert on this. What are some of the basics we need to know as we start to get into the how of this? Let's start with the big one. Obviously we can't call this insurance.
No, right? You can't. And I want to back up a little bit, because there's some, this is a question we get every day here. What is a membership program, right?
Yes.
It's a very new thing in the industry. And we're finding here at BoomCloud that there's a lot of practices that get what it is. And there's others that are like, what is this? I've never even thought of this concept, right? So I'd like to start out with just chatting and saying, hey, it's like Amazon Prime, right? For your patients, you know, where I'm assuming most people out there have Amazon Prime or Costco, like a Costco membership.
Right.
But it's basically Amazon Prime for your dental practice, where a patient pays a monthly or yearly fee to get access to certain benefits and discounts that you control and that you can manage, right? That's pretty much the simple overview. So there we go. We'll start with that there, Kirk.
Right. And if you look at the business plan behind these people, they've figured out the metrics. Like, correct me if I'm wrong, but Amazon went from like 50 million to, is it 80 or 90 million members? Because they knew that the more members that they would add, the more people spend in a membership program. Now, let's also look at the budget building. Like, let's just take something easy, like a country club. Can you imagine if a country club just charged you every time you played golf or every time you – they couldn't build a budget, nor could they.
It'd be a feast and famine model, which I hate in business. Right. And then you couldn't build a predictable budget. It's messy.
Right. And you're speaking to the most innate fundamental thing about human beings, is we're relational beings. We like to be part of clubs. We've got a herd mentality. Yeah. So I don't know. You're speaking my language, buddy. And I mean, I'm asking the questions, but I got to keep my mouth shut here for a little bit. But really, what most businesses have figured out is that once you move from feast and famine to a membership model, it's much more stable.
Yeah.
People spend more. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a better quality experience.
Yeah, you can definitely offer a better quality experience for the patients. You know, I think it's very important for a practice to understand their budgets and have a predictable cash flow in their practice, because then the people that are managing or owning it, the practice owner, right, he's not stressed about running his business, right? I've managed both models. The two business models that I like to talk about and that I've been a part of in my career are the feast and famine model or the bucket business model is what I call it, where you're just carrying buckets, right? And I've got a metaphor about that we can talk about later. And then the second model is the recurring revenue or the subscription membership model. And those, it's important for practice owners to understand when they have a consistent recurring revenue stream coming in that's predictable, it's going to be less stressful to run for the business. Whether you're a dentist or not, that's just business 101.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So that is so powerful. Now, anything else you would say? I love kind of defining what a membership program is. And now let's go into some of the questions. I'm going to throw you the hard questions I get, which call it insurance because you can get in trouble with that, right?
Yeah. You don't want to call it insurance because it's not an insurance product. It's not a risk-bearing model that you're offering to your patients. So don't call it insurance because, number one, you don't want to be classified under those regulations of insurance. You just don't, you don't have the resources to do that. Right. You know, and there's actually a law that's going out in the industry that's growing, which is called DPC or direct primary care law. And it allows practitioners to set up these membership programs and it helps them bypass any of the insurance regulations in certain states, right? It's definitely growing. And I see that in the future that it'll be more defined in a lot of states. But yeah, don't call it dental insurance. That's not what we want to market at. It as, you know, most patients don't like dental insurance, right? I've talked to, and maybe it's me, when I talk to people that I know that they're always, you know, bashing insurance. Mm-hmm. So as a patient, right? They're like, I'm so sick of, I don't get what my insurance offers, you know, to my family, and it just doesn't make sense to me. I get emails all the time from people I know that know that I do this, and they're like, so can you educate me on insurance because I've never been happy with it? Right. So keep that in mind. Don't call insurance.
Yeah, and I don't even like, correct me if I'm wrong, but you're the expert. I don't even like it when we call it a discount plan because I don't want people thinking one of the benefits is you get some savings, right? So what's your favorite nomenclature, favorite way to say this or describe it to patients?
I've always liked membership plan or loyalty plan or one of those two, right? Because they're more positive for the practice. You know, it's not like what you said, discount has a bad name to it. It's like, yeah, this is our discount plan. It's like, so you're going to give me like a crappy crown,
right?
So you don't, in my opinion, you want to choose like membership or even Smile Club. I've seen those or just a loyalty program. Yeah. That's what you want to call it, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's awesome. And there's so much great value prop and great sales copy or great verbiage for this. But I have a lot of people that say, hey, no insurance, no problem. It's our Smile Savings Program or our in-house membership benefits program. Now, can you basically describe as probably in the most simplest form, what is it? Like, tell us what it is.
Yeah.
And how you would talk about it with a patient.
Yeah. So how most practices, when we are talking to the practice, how to talk to a patient about it is exactly my Amazon Prime model, right? Where we say, hey, if you need to use an example, use Amazon Prime or Costco, right? When you're talking to a patient. But if you're wanting to get like patients to sign up, you want to say, hey, look, you need a crown today, but in order for you to get a crown, it's going to cost you, you know, $1,000, let's just say. But if you sign up for our membership program, which is $30 a month, or if you're doing a yearly plan, whatever that is, it's only going to cost you $800 or whatever the discounts are going to be, right? That's how I would approach it. And that's, it's using a tactic called the principle of contrast, where you're showing the patient a higher dollar amount. And then in order for them to do this one thing to join the loyalty or membership program, they can sign up and get that discount, right? And that's a very powerful marketing tool that a practice can use to help sign patients up for that. Does that make sense there?
Yeah, it makes perfect sense because we see it every day, everywhere you go. Like you go to Target, you know, they try to sell me the credit card every time, save 10% on your purchases.
Exactly. Today. Yep. Exactly. So it's the same concept. And I think, I think it's a very powerful tool for a practice to help increase case acceptance, right? That's one of the benefits, but that's how I think they should be talking about it.
Absolutely. It doesn't even have to be something as big as a crown. The patient comes in and on an emergency basis, they have a broken cusp. You can pretty much say, you know, this is almost free today. I mean, if you join our membership program.
Yeah.
And so they walk away with something where they're tethered to the practice because it's a membership program. But you're also giving them value and you're it's a great little reciprocity for the beginning of a relationship.
Absolutely. It absolutely is. And that's exactly. It doesn't have to be for a crown. It can be for any type of treatment that the patient needs, right? So I think, utilizing it to just get them to to do work. It's a benefit for the patient, right? Especially if they're uninsured, right?
Right.
That's probably the biggest demographic that a practice should be targeting. And that's a good thing because the majority, like over 50% of the United States, I think it's more now. I need to research that stat, but it's over 50% of the United States doesn't have dental insurance. I'm one of those people.
Yeah, me too. Nice. Now, if you're a dentist watching this, you're thinking everybody has 100%, but that's not true.
Yeah. So I think there's two segments of the market, right? The insured and the uninsured. And I think a membership program is a way to capture the uninsured, which is there's more uninsured than insured. And I think it's just going to continue to increase.
Isn't that amazing? Now, another thing I'm just going to throw at you too, like you have all these statistics and we're going to tell everybody to download your ebook, which I did and I read it and it's awesome. Nice.
Ignore the bad grammar.
I didn't even notice that.
Like, oh, good.
I mean, you were speaking my language. So when it got bad, I was just like, hey, this guy knows how I talk and think. So now here's one of the things that you're going to know when you dive into Jordan's stuff, like a majority, I always ask audiences this when I'm speaking is like, do you guys know the number one reason people go to the dentist? And they're like, because they were referred. No, the number one reason patients in the United States go to the dentist is they perceive they have some type of benefit, you know, and it's a terrible statistic, but a lot of times dentists think, well, people go to the dentist because they have a relationship. That's true to some extent, but if you look at pure data, I mean, it's crazy high. So now, how do we use that to create a practice where naturally you can jump into the flow? Because patients, they do go because they perceive some type of benefit.
Totally. They do. Yeah. And I've even noticed in my own trends with not being insured, we'll only go to the dentist once a year, right, to get my teeth cleaned. Because, I'm not a part of a membership program. So any practice in Utah that signs up for a membership program, I will look at joining.
Right.
But I don't, I've noticed a lot of people here at my office they don't have dental insurance. They feel like they can't go and get the benefits, right? Because they are not on insurance. So this is a way to combat that and to basically utilize the trends or the natural decisions patients are making or thinking, right? That's right. That's how it goes.
Well, and we're going to beat this horse to death on this one, but here, that's not even a great thing to say, but the truth of it is when you're part of a membership, you feel obligated. Like that's a lot of times why I don't go to Dick's Sporting Goods. I mean, I'm a member at Amazon. So, and Costco, it's not that Sam's Club is bad. It's just that I'm a member at Costco. So if I have a choice, I'm going to go where I have a membership and
You're invested into, I don't remember what you said. What was it, Amazon? You were with Amazon?
Amazon, yeah.
So you've invested into Amazon, if you will, right? So you're more likely to go purchase from Amazon because you're like, well, I'm paying them yearly and I get all these benefits and discounts.
Right.
You know, so I'm going to use them first because I'm paying for it, right? It's a benefit.
Right.
And the same thing for me, I'm an Amazon Prime member and, I always tell this story. Months ago, I was looking for a TV and I went just down the street to Best Buy and I found the TV that I wanted and I'm like, okay, this is awesome. But then I'm like, oh yeah, I'm an Amazon Prime member. I can just get this same TV and get it delivered to my house. I don't have to worry about putting it into my small car and taking it home and doing all that hassle, right? I didn't have to, you know, leave my office during the day to pick it up and all that, right? So I just got on while I was in Best Buy. I found the TV on Amazon and I ordered it. That's the power. That's the same thing will happen with your patients. I know a good friend of mine, Dr. Christopher Phelps. I don't know if he's been on your show.
Oh yeah, Chris is awesome.
Chris is a good friend of mine and we collaborate a lot. We've done a ton of webinars together and I remember he's been on my podcast, I think 4 or 5 times. But he basically had a patient come in that was going to the dentist across the street from him or just down the street. And the patient signed up for the membership program because he felt like he would get the benefits and the discounts, right, from more than the other office. And as he was in Dr. Phelps's office, he canceled his appointment with the other office because he felt there was more value at Dr. Phelps' office because of the membership program, right? Mm-hmm. So same thing, me being at Best Buy, buying something on Amazon, this patient at Dr. Phelps' office, being in Dr. Phelps' office, canceling his appointment with the office down the street and signing up for Phelps's membership program. I think there's some power behind that for practices listening, right?
Yeah, and please hear this. We're not telling you to steal patients. That's not, please.
No.
You know, because I get all these kind of, you're telling people to steal, but no, that's not what we said. You're interpreting this differently. Okay, so let's go into the details, because I have this problem whenever I ask, I go, what do you do? Well, some people charge $299 a year. Some people charge $150 a year. Some people charge $400 a year. I mean, we could go into the general, but generally, what do you see, Jordan, as far as how the program works for patients?
Yeah, so there's monthly and yearly plans out there, and I encourage practices to look at both and even offer both, because I'll go into the details of that in a minute. But what I'm seeing out there is the most popular is like $300 to $350 a year. It's going to vary per location. In the city, the demographics you're in, the cost of living, right? There's some costs that are more expensive to a practice, so their membership fees are a little bit higher. Right. But I would say $300 to $350 is pretty average what we're seeing out there. And doing some of like our like analysts in the industry. And just asking questions. We're looking at a ton of practices, and the average cost to offer the benefits of a membership program is about $100 to $110 a year, right? That break-even cost. Okay. So if a practice is above that, that's typically they're going to make a profit off their membership fees. If they're below that, I'm concerned, right? I think unless they're getting sweet deals and have like a cheap hygienist and dental assistant, right? They could go below that, but I'm saying $110 for the break even point. If it's $300, they're making some money off the membership fees. So that's what we're seeing out there in the industry. And then on like a monthly standpoint, we're seeing practices do between $25 a month, all the way up to $35, $40, in some cases, in some areas. But that's what we're seeing on a monthly standpoint when it comes to pricing.
Yeah. And as a member, let's talk about the benefits. So what do I get if I give you $300 a year as a patient?
Yeah. So most and every practice has the ability to add whatever benefits they want, but it's pretty typical to get the cleanings, get some doctor's exams, x-rays, get some discounts like 10%, 20% off of major or minor, you know, like crowns, bridges, things like that. That's pretty common. I've seen practices give like discounts on like toothbrushes and things for the like products that they sell in the office, which I think is an awesome idea. But it's pretty simple out there what practices are doing.
And you always recommend this. I think I've heard you say this a couple. You got to do a fee balance at the end of the year just to kind of evaluate where all these are at, because you're going to find in some cases you're giving away too much, or the fee. How much are we utilizing this? So you kind of, it is due diligence to sit down every year, because you're giving away something. You are in this. But is it working for us or against us? And also, too, your fees can't be in the lower. I mean, you can't be charging $650 for a crown and then giving discount. Like, your fees have to be in a reasonable area in order for all of this to work. But the confidence behind it and the belief in it is usually the most important thing. Now, I get this question. Like, where does perio fit in here? I'm sure you hear that one. Like, I mean, you don't have to be super specific, but generally, what do you see?
I can be.
Okay, good.
Yeah, this is what we see all the time too. So with perio, I've seen practices kind of bundle it in the discounts, right? Like, well, if you need extra perio maintenance, you know, we'll give you a 20% discount on those additional cleanings. So that's one way. Another way I've seen practices create a separate perio plan where it's like $50 a month, and it's just all perio maintenance. You know, all the benefits or the tasks that a practice needs to do to offer those services are just bundled up. So those are the two things. If it were me, I would probably just depends. depends on like the demographics of the practice. If you're an older based, if you have a more retired based practice, I would consider doing a monthly perio and see how it works. But bottom line, it boils down to what the patient base is going to accept, right? It's marketing 101. You don't want to just build something and sell it, you know, to a patient without knowing that that's what they want, right? So whether it's monthly or yearly, I think a practice should be, you know, asking those questions to the patient before they launch, or even if, as they launch something, they can always alter it. But with perio, yeah, I would do a monthly perio plan, or add a discount for perio maintenance cleanings.
Okay, and I get this question too, and I'll just throw it at you. What about a specialist? Do you see any of these work for specialists in any fashion?
Like an orthodontist that wants to sign, like create a membership program? Is that what you're thinking?
Absolutely. Or even a pediatric dentist, which is probably a little bit easier to do. Like, do you see these models for the specialist?
Yeah, so pediatric, totally. I totally recommend it for pediatric offices, because I typically recommend having a membership program if the practice has some sort of lifetime maintenance model, right? Mm-hmm. That's what you want. That's how it's going to work. If they don't, then it's probably not going to work in their practice the way they want it to. Like if for ortho, right? If you're just doing braces all the time, it's like you're not doing lifetime maintenance. You're doing like short-term maintenance, right? So it doesn't work really well for those types of demographics. But general practices, pediatric offices, even perio offices, it works really well for anything that has long-term or lifetime maintenance. That's what a membership program will do really well with.
Yeah, that's awesome. Now, again, I've got like 95 questions to ask you.
95.
People,
wow.
People always ask me,
you're
like,
be here forever.
I know. Well, this isn't hard to sell. Like, sometimes people think this really hard to sell, but all it takes is a little bit of understanding and some value behind it. And once your team can get their mind around it, it's actually pretty easy to sell. And so I'm going to ask you the natural question, like, I know you don't really have a preference, you encourage, but yearly or monthly? And I say this, if you're going to do it monthly, then you need a software like Bloom Cloud, because it's too hard to manage. But let me talk about the benefits of this. So let's say you're a private care clinician, you're sitting here watching this, you got 1300 patients, and over time you build 400 to 500 patients a month at $30 a month. Let's do the math. 500 patients times $30 a month. What is that? That's I'm terrible at math. That's $15,000 a month, isn't it?
Did you say 500 at $30 a month?
Yeah. Let's say we have 500 patients. That's 15,000.
Yeah. 15,
now that's recurring revenue. Now that's not even the benefit, but that does cover your rent payment. It pays a lot of bills when you have income coming in that you're not really actively working on, but it's kind of the beginning piece of the other piece that happens. So, let's go back to the original question that I was trying to ask you before I got distracted. Monthly or yearly?
Yeah. So I think they're both great. They both have their pros and cons. Yearly is awesome because you can collect the revenue up front, but there's some states that don't allow you to do yearly plans.
Yes. Right? Talk about that.
Yeah. So like the state of, I think it's Maryland. Don't quote me on that. But I believe it's Maryland. We were talking with a practice this morning, they encourage you to do monthly plan versus yearly because of just risk, right? What happens if the practice goes out of business and they've collected all those fees? How are they going to, you know, refund those fees back? So there's that reason why yearly may not be a good fit, because of the state, you know, what the state says you can and cannot do.
Right.
So obviously the first benefit is collecting that revenue on a recurring yearly basis. That's what practice should be thinking. I know lots of practices, when they start a membership program, they'll just collect it manually. And then they're like, oh, when the patient comes in, we'll just sign them up again. And it's like, well, what we're finding that most practices, the patient lapses like around 4 months without going to the dentist, right? So it's not a real membership program. It's just like you pay us $300 and then it just doesn't, it's not the philosophy or the concept that should be done, in my opinion. it should be automated. The patient should automatically be renewed each year, just like Amazon Prime, right? Let's follow the successful guys out there, right? So make sure that it's automated. The patient auto-renews every year, and there's just those benefits of collecting those fees up front. The downside of a yearly is sometimes it may be a barrier of entry for that patient. If, like here in Utah, there's big families here, right? Mm-hmm. So sometimes what we've seen in states or just individual dental practices that their demographic is families, and they cannot, sometimes it's harder for the family to sign up, you know, $300 times, you know, five people in the family. It's kind of just a barrier of entry there. So I think that's where the downside of a yearly plan lies. But I also think monthly is awesome, because then you can automate it. You can have that cash flow come in each month. Because if you're like me, a small business owner as well, you're going to pay your bills monthly, right? So it's nice to have that budget, that cash coming in each month to pay those bills. If you build a big enough membership program, right? That's what it's going to look like. The downside is, and this is a question I get from practices all the time, is they're like, well, what if we sign up a patient and they get some work done and then they just cancel the next month? I'm like, yep, that's totally a normal concern and a fear in the dental industry. Don't allow that to happen.
Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah.
Get a contract, an agreement with the patient. And then like with our software, we have an ACH function where you can draft the funds or withdraw the funds directly from the patient's bank account versus a credit card that they can decline, right? So, monthly I think it is really good. And the more I'm looking at this, the more I like monthly. Obviously, I'm never going to say don't do yearly. I think they're both great. They both have their pros and cons. But right. Monthly is cool because of the lower barrier of entry. If you set it up right with ACH, and an agreement with the patient, then you're good to go.
Right. And great softwares like you do payment fail recovery, you know, automation. So there's always a percentage of them that fail every month.
Of course. Yeah. And we've got some automation that in our platform that helps the practice manage that. But I honestly would just use ACH. Like right. I would try to avoid credit cards because of they just decline and it's a pain in the butt.
It's no brainer. Look, I'm learning from you all the time. So wait, now I get this. I hear this all the time in all the groups I go to, you know, people that have been doing this for 5 or 6 years. Think about this. If you're a dentist watching this, you're explaining to a patient, it's $30 a month. Patients are naturally going to say to you, well, that's less than my current dental insurance that I have. And some dentists that I know are like, they naturally transition into a question, which is, who's your employer? You know, which is genius, because there's one dentist that I know in Florida. He's like, I saw this pattern. And I'm like, as soon as people told me it's cheaper than their dental insurance, I would naturally go, who's your employer? And guess where I was the next week? I'm walking down the hallway of these major employers going, hey, I can save you millions in your dental.
Totally.
And people are like, I'm all ears. How are you going to do that?
How are you going
to
do that?
Do you win every time? No, but you can certainly get some medium to small companies that say, hey, look, we're going to just ditch ours and we're just going to send people to you. Can you give us some of those forms? It's brilliant. Like it's crazy brilliant.
Yeah, I would definitely do that. If I were a dentist, I would definitely target, both just consumers, but B2B, like business to business. Right. I think that's a great strategy because you are offering a value to those businesses, right? Where it's like, wow, this can be way cheaper. And wait, did you say that our patients don't have a cap or a maximum? They can just come in and if they need the work, they can get the discounts, like unlimited discounts. Like it's an awesome benefit for employers.
Right. And there are there's a handful of things I always say in dentistry as a coach that you just do them. Don't think about it. Yeah. This is one of the strategies I'm just like ready, fire, then aim. Like don't sit there and go, I got to get this all right. No. Start on Monday. And it's like, you know, of the three people you present it to, you probably one of them will say yes, but then you go, wow, that's crazy. And then you just make adjustments, just like you said, because you're going to learn a lot.
Totally. Totally. Yeah.
You're going to learn what to say. You're going to learn what works and what doesn't.
Yeah. And I tell practices all the time, I'm like, look, you're not going to just launch this, you know, month one and sign up, you know, 1,000 patients. It's, it's a long-term strategy, but the more you talk to patients about this, the easier it becomes to educate them and to sign them up in the program. And then the bigger your membership pool will become. There's some work to go to starting a membership program, but it'll be worth your time because it's not going to be third party managed. It's going to be self-managed, right?
Yeah. And Jordan, we have so many dental students watching this. So you guys might, I'm going to speak to you guys. You might be thinking, I just got to get out of here and cut teeth. I'm telling you right now, with three full decades of practice in front of you, if you start really slowly with this strategy, by the time you're in your first full decade, the majority of your patients, we could argue, are already going to be in a membership program under your guidance. And you will have nothing in common with your classmates who are constantly complaining about the changing rules. And you're going to say, dude, I left that environment years ago, because you're never going to win. You're never going to win in that environment. And so you're right. It is a long-term strategy. You've got to stay focused on the goal. And the goal is really not, it's not the money. It's not the recurring revenue. It's about creating relationships.
Those are byproducts of value. Yeah.
This is about creating a mutually trust-based beneficial relationship where long-term patients are connected to you for a lot of different reasons, not just because you're their favorite, but they have they've got a program with you.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, that's definitely I'll add to that because I like recurring revenue, but it honestly is a byproduct of the value you're giving to your patient. And that's what any business, right? The customer is important. The patient's important. The client is the number one focus. So if you can make them feel like they're getting a lot of value with your practice, that byproduct will be, you know, the recurring revenue or the increased case acceptance. That's how any business works. So I think that's important. Don't be too focused. I've seen some dentists that are just too focused on the recurring revenue, and that's exciting. That stuff excites me. But get the benefits down. Have your staff, you know, become educated on this concept, because that's one of the biggest problems, right? That I see is a dentist gets really excited, right? And he's like, I gotta launch one of these, but then he doesn't take the time, he or she doesn't take the time to educate the staff on the concept of a membership program. And I think that's really important. And the most successful practices that we see are taking the time to educate their staff so that the staff can educate the patients. And then, you know, they'll generate the increased case acceptance and the recurring revenue, right? It's byproduct.
Yeah. And if you struggle with that, I was at the start of the North speaking and I threw out your name in the room and one woman goes, I work with Jordan. I go, and she goes,
I heard about this.
Yeah. And she goes, he's great. And then I asked her, I said, Jordan will help you. Like he'll educate you. So if you're struggling with this, like you'll train an office on how to do this, right?
Yeah. So in the early days, we just would send everybody videos, but we've realized that And I encourage everyone when they set up a membership program, launch it and then tweak it and improve it, right? So that's kind of what we've done here is now we have a whole team that all they focus on doing is educating our practices on the concept of a membership program and then how to use our software as well. And we're building this team, and that's been my biggest focus is ensuring that team is going to help and educate all of our practices. And I think that's really important to get educated and have a game plan, right? When it comes to launching these.
And really the soundness of your plan really is the most important piece, because some dentists are like, oh, this is a good idea, but I need new patients. Okay, let me just speak to that. New patients sometimes are the worst. Now we need new patients, but you already know this if you're watching this. Half of them don't show, you know, like the challenge of every business, whether it be a restaurant or anything, is like, how do we grow, get people in, but then how do we retain them and keep them a long term? New patients can be the absolute worst. And so let's get them in, but then let's keep them. Let's keep them for a long period of time. And one more, because I'm just
go ahead.
I'm just your biggest cheerleader. Now, let me speak to the mature dentist here. Like, let's say you're 55 and you're like, I'm 55. You've got what we call transition in the future. And you're going to have an expert come into your office and do what's called a valuation, which is going to be largely based on how many of these people are still alive and in your practice, and every dentist is going like, I got 2,000. And then you pull all these charts. You're like, half of these people are dead, you know, or they
haven't come in 15 years.
Yeah. Now, you know, this, like, you've got, if some of you've done this, you get a 72 page book that you pay thousands, if not tens of thousands of dollars for. And all it comes down to is, what was your net profit? And are these real patients that I'm buying? That's it.
Totally.
That's really it. Yeah. You know, you could throw demographics in, but what a greater way to introduce into the formula if you're on that part of your career is like, hey, look, these are real patients. I'll show you how many are signed up for our membership program. So you, Mr. Young Dentist or Mrs. Young Dentist, you're buying real patients that are going to keep coming in here for years, whether I'm here or not.
Yep. That's a huge benefit. And if you read The Automatic Customer by John Warlow, he talks about the valuation process of this type of business model in a business or a practice, right? It doesn't matter. It's just in a business. Having patients put some skin in the game and commit to becoming a member of your practice is essential and very important to improving the valuation of the practice. Instead of getting like a discounted valuation, you're more likely to get a multiple, right? Versus saying 75 cents on the dollar, it's times three, times four, whatever the annual recurring revenue is. That definitely can help stabilize. And then, like you said, for the transition for the young dentist, that's going to be like, okay, well, that makes sense. It's less risky for me because these patients are paying monthly or yearly fees to be a part of this practice. And we're seeing that revenue, right? It's not just saying, yeah, they're my patients, but they haven't been here in 15 years, right? It's making them more active if you think about it.
Yeah. So if you haven't heard this enough from us, start. Do it. Don't think about it. And Jordan, you and I are going to do many of these. We're going to go into some of the details and the weeds on all these, and we're going to cover some of the things. But here's what I want to do. I want people to read your book because you wrote an incredible – tell us what the ebook is. So I have a copy. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's a very simple ebook that I wrote. I'm a huge believer in educating. And I write tons of articles in the industry, and then we do our podcast as well. And I wrote this book to help educate practices because we were just seeing that it was such a new concept in the industry that they needed some education. So I wrote this ebook. I think it's like 40 or 50 pages long, and I'm actually getting ready to add a couple more chapters to it. As I go along, I'm learning a lot about this business model for practices, and I'm just willing to keep sharing my knowledge. But yeah, it's a simple ebook. You can read it really, really fast, and you can download it off our website. And it just basically explains my philosophy about membership programs, recurring revenue, patient loyalty, things like that. And hopefully it can help, you know, the listeners out there get educated on the details of a membership program.
Amen. Amen. So Ben, amen. We're going to put these three links in here. Number one, check out Jordan's podcast, watch it, follow it. Yeah. It's fantastic. Number two, check out his company. It's called Boom Cloud. Fantastic. And then number three, download his ebook. And I'm telling you, you will love all three. So
buddy. Yeah. And you can go on our website, just boomcloudapps.com. And the ebook will pop up as well, but we also have a specific landing page that anyone can go to and download it from there as well.
Awesome, buddy. Well, I am so crazy grateful. And like I said, we're going to have you on for so many other things here.
Yeah, this will be fun.
Absolutely. It's so much fun, man. So, hey, stick around while we say goodbye to everybody else. But thank you guys for watching. Really appreciate this. And do us a favor. If you found this valuable, which I know you did, do us a favor. Just hit the share button. Share with your friends. Get it out there. Protect this great profession that we love called dentistry. And again, keep sending us things that you want to see, not only from Jordan, but other speakers. And we're so happy to do that. So, Jordan, thank you again. I'm so grateful, man. So, and until we see you guys next time, keep watching the Best Practices Show. You guys have a great rest of your day.